My name is Wendy Check. It was Bring It. My dad was the Herbert Springett, the well-known photographer from Morden.
And my name is now Ruth Lynn. I'm the youngest daughter of Herbert Springett. And Wendy shares a brother, Michael, who was her twin.
Wendy, would you like to talk a little bit about your dad's early life? When was he born and where?
My dad was born in Holloway Road, Heybridge. He went to Heybridge School. Where he went, I don't know what age you left school at that then, but he started work, and I think his first job was at a place called Tarling's. And Dad wanted to be a sign writer, and he was left-handed, so of course it didn't work. When he wrote, he rubbed it out as he was...
Did he have problems at school, being left-handed?
Oh, yes. He was at school, he in those days, he had his left hand tied behind his back to make him write with his right hand, and he always blamed his handwriting. He was always very ashamed of his handwriting because of that.
And what year are we talking about? When was he actually born?
He was born in 1907, and it said he had to leave at school at 14, I believe. It may even have been younger. And I do remember one story about, because he lived in Broad Street Green, and he had to walk to school, where the Heybridge School is now. And he said he did actually have some shoes, but they were so uncomfortable, he used to take them off and hide them under a hedge and then walk the rest of the way to school without shoes.
Really?
And pick the shoes up on the way home.
So no school, no shoes in school?
Apparently not.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So his first job after school was, you were saying...
Yes, he worked at Tarling's, where they sold paint, and he tried sign writing, but that didn't work. And then he went on from there, I think, where did he go? He did a round of, he used to go on his bike and collect HP.
Right.
From the country, people, they bought stuff from the country. I can't remember who that was. He worked for somebody who, they had a furniture store, I think, and they sold furniture and curtains and things. Mm. And he used to go on his bike on a Friday, because people got paid on a Friday, and collected the HP.
And do you know where he met your mother?
Yeah, they met through the Morden Methodist Church, and from then on the romance continued, and they got married on Christmas Day.
1933.
So, Ruth, your early memories as a child of your dad?
Of my dad, he was always busy. He was always busy. But when he had time, for instance, perhaps he'd finish a batch of printing earlier than he thought. One of the big treats was for him to drive us down to Mill Beach if the tide was right, and we'd just spend it. They'd take their thermos flask and we'd go and sit down there, and that's where I learnt to swim. He taught me to swim down at Mill Beach.
So by the time you were young children, both of you, had he established his photography business?
For me, because I'm nearly 9 years younger than my brother and sister, that's all I knew, was my dad as a photographer.
Right.
And people used to bring their children to be photographed at our house. And in those days, it was the fashion for young babies to come and lie on their tummies and grin at the camera. But of course then, if the children were older and fidgety, they needed entertaining. And so in that house were my toys. So my toys would come out, and there was a hand puppet monkey. And I remember clearly my mum hiding behind my dad's back and popping out this monkey in an effort to keep the model entertained and laughing if possible. I also remember on one occasion one child got very attached to something or other in that little tiny pile of toys that I had. And my dad said, let him take it home with him and we'll have it back later. And I thought, what is he doing? He's giving my toy away. But that's how it was. And we lived in a very small bungalow.
And where was that?
In Great Totham.
Great Totham, OK.
And so the main room in the house, the living room and dining room, general room, was completely taken over with huge spotlights and, and wires and, you know, bits trailing here, there and everywhere. Mm. And somewhere in the collection of photographs, there's a photograph of my mum, who was very lovely and his main model. There's a lovely profile of her with very defined eyebrows, which apparently were painted with blackcurrant jam to emphasise them. And I think he stepped back, tripped over one of these lights, and was so frustrated he just walked out. And there's my poor mum with blackcurrant eyebrows left to pick all the pieces up.
So was your mum quite involved in the business?
Well, she was a school teacher, she worked in the village, at the village school, didn't she, as a teacher? But his business grew and grew, you know, like he got asked to do a lot more weddings and things, and, well, all sorts of things, commercial stuff, didn't he, as well? And so then I think between them they decided he ought to have a business in the town. So they went ahead and bought the first shop at 1 Silver Street.
They did. But before they did that, they rented the studio, do you remember?
Oh, we did,
which was over Sanderson's Opticians
over
near
the
church.
Optician, yeah.
And he rented that so that
people
could...
That was in the High Street.
In
the
High Street.
Yeah.
Yes, on the corner near the church. Mm. And people could make appointments to go and have their photographs taken.
And before this, before that big step of having his own premises, was he working part-time somewhere else and doing part-time photography, you know, as he was building up
the business? I think originally he was still working at Bentalls before he sort of took, before photography took over altogether.
Didn't one of you have a memory about him cycling home for lunch when he was at Bentalls?
Yeah.
What were you saying?
We used to cycle home from Bentalls for lunch. I don't know how old we would have been then.
I have no memory of that.
He used to cycle everywhere, didn't he? There was no other means of transport.
He was a great athlete, and he won all sorts of prizes for his running. And he was a member of Southend Harriers, and he used to cycle to Southend before taking part in events. And at home I have his first prize he ever won, which is a big brass, presumably was a, I don't know, a coal scuttle or something. At the moment it's used as a plant container. He was a very fit man, obviously.
And lots of interests, obviously.
Wide interests. He was very interested in all sorts of things, anything that was going on. He had very wide interests, yes.
So after having his studio in the High Street, then he moved on to have a shop?
Yeah.
And where
Silver Street, which was right next to the Blue Boar. Mm. And, it grew from there. They moved from there down to the High Street, which was a shoe shop. And that took some cleaning out and getting ready to open up as a business.
And you remember all that? Do you remember that transition into that shop?
Well, that was the shop in Silver Street used to be a saddlery.
Mm.
And so there were all sorts of things there to clear up. And there was a well in the bottom, wasn't there, that had to be cleared out. Do you remember that?
Oh,
down
it was
in
a cellar.
Basement. Mm.
And that filled with used to fill up with water if we'd had rain or anything.
But you lived there, didn't you?
Yes, we, Tony and I had a flat above the shop, and we used to curse the church bells because it was right opposite the church.
Oh, yes.
And we used to curse the church bells on a Sunday morning. Mind you, that was 11 o'clock. And, and the sand lorries that bounced up the high street and the town clock that went off. And
You were really in the heart of things there, weren't you?
Yeah. I worked for Mum and Dad, didn't I?
You were a bit, yes. Yeah. You.
Do you remember that part?
Very, very clearly remember that, young. Yes. I remember. I must have been very young when he was having people at home because I still had these toys. But I do remember the move to that. But another clear memory I have, you were probably out partying, but on a Saturday evening, if you'd had very busy times, sometimes, I don't know what the maximum number of weddings he'd do on a Saturday.
Well, if it was... Can I join in?
Yes, of course.
If Easter came... and the Easter Saturday was the last day in March. Oh, there used to be hundreds of weddings because that was the last day you could get your tax rebate or something. Mm. So that was one March, there was snow, deep snow, and he got stuck in. He was sort of going from one wedding to another. He had 7 or 8, I think, on that. How he managed it, I don't know.
So he'd be there to photograph the bride going into church with the father. Mm. When they were in the church, he'd be dashing off somewhere else to take someone else going into church. And then, come back for them. And then some of them wanted the signing of the register.
And when it caught in this snowdrift, didn't he, at the bottom of the road?
But Michael lived at home until he was 18. And on very busy times, he was seconded to go and take some of the photographs, you remember?
He was allowed to, was he? This is your brother. He was allowed to take photos.
Well, yes, he was trained how to do it and what to do. Yeah. So, yes. But for me, a very clear memory is at the end of that very busy Saturday, Dad couldn't relax until he'd got all his films processed and knew everything was okay because, it was a once-in-a-lifetime occasion for these people. So he always took 2 photographs. He had 2 cameras with him and he took 2 of everything, so he'd got this insurance. And the kitchen in Totham would be draped because he processed the films in the kitchen and there'd be these films everywhere. And you couldn't go out there because there'd be dust and so on. So, yes, it was... And it was...
I wonder how he did it all.
He was... it was very stressful for him
In those days, you had to work everything out, what speed of your film on and how long it should...
Yeah.
And, developing and... the chemicals had to be kept at a certain temperature, and in the shed, if it was a hot day, they went. So he had all sorts of difficulties.
He did.
And I know that big picture of Haybridge Basin, he did a huge picture.
Yes, which I've
got. But he hadn't got a container he could do it in, so he made it. He made a wooden structure and put polystyrene plastic in it, didn't he? So he made his own.
So he could develop a large picture.
Yeah.
I've still got 2 sections of that at home.
Yeah.
Did he have lots of cameras?
Oh, yes.
Must have done.
He also collected cameras in his later years, didn't he? He had a great
camera
collection.
I've got one of his Leica cameras.
And I've got one of his Leica cameras, and Michael has as well.
Yeah, Michael had one. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier something about spotting.
Spotting.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, but the photographs, sometimes if it was a lady's her wedding dress, sometimes it had light spots, and we had to go over it with a spotting ink and fill those spots in so it all looked the same.
You had a very, very fine brush which you just used to lick.
Yeah.
at point and then dip it into this.
I'd love to be able to do. I watched the repair shop, and there's a lady who repairs pictures, doesn't she? And I'd love to have a go at that. She uses just the same.
But it wasn't always spotting. There was one occasion where Dad was always interested in taking interesting photographs, so not just the formulaic ones. Mm. And at the time when synthetic fabrics first came out, he took a very nice photograph of the bride and groom against the light. As he was developing the photograph, lo and behold, there was the wife's whole silhouette showing through the the fabric. So
it was silk from a parachute
Was. It's silk, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
But when that was made suitable for publication,
yes.
It had to be... you use something called a glazing knife, which is a very sharp blade. So you'd etch the surface of the photograph very slightly and then take the blackness away.
You're talking about I probably shouldn't say this, but the children who used to come in who were, their sight was cross-eyed, I suppose. Mm. You used to be able to spot the eye out and put another so it didn't look
quite so correct, obvious.
And the mums were delighted because they didn't know how on earth he'd managed to do that.
So you were all involved as a family in working on the photographs in various ways, all of you.
Yeah.
So you remember that as children, sitting round and working on the photographs for your dad?
Then when he had the shop at Silver Street, then all of those functions could be done at the shop. So, you know, the back of the shop had a kitchen where he could do the developing. Mm. But he also phased out that side of his job and became very interested in retailing cameras because it was less stressful, basically. Mm. Mm. So that's how he started up at Silver Street. And I remember he had a great reputation for giving endless time to people, advising them on the use of their cameras. And I think that's what people really appreciated, didn't they? He would, you know, come back and see me. And Stephen Nunn in Malden, I saw him recently and he said, oh, I remember your dad. He lent me one of his cameras to use when I went on holiday.
Mm.
That was the kind of man he was.
But it was a brand new camera.
Mm. Yes.
It was a box that
had
come in and he'd opened it and gave it. Mm.
And he had to go to London frequently to various retailers because he couldn't carry a huge stock. And so he used to travel to London and go to various retailers up there.
Oh, I've done that as well.
in Holborn, where you'd go and collect a camera. And then before the camera went to the shop, he would test it and make sure everything was okay.
But he used to get asked if he wanted tax relief or whatever it was.
Oh, I know what it was. He was buying a gadget bag.
Uh-huh.
And the person said to him, I suppose you want the zip to go up and down, do you? Not across. Is that the one? No. And he said, why? What on earth are you saying? He said, well, you're Australian, aren't you?
And Australian?
And, you know, the old Essex accent was actually quite Australian, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. Gosh.
Sorry, is that what you were going to say?
Well, with our Essex accent, he was always asked. They thought he was Australian, and he was always asked if he wanted tax relief because if you were taking it abroad, you got a reduction.
So your dad also took lots of photos of around Malden.
Yeah.
I've seen some of them, black and white pictures of the high street and the traffic and buildings. Do you remember him going out and about and doing that a lot?
No, not really.
I do. I remember. This was probably later. You may not have been at home anymore, but I remember him saying he was very lucky because his job was also his hobby. and he was a member of Morden Camera Club. And often on Sundays, they would take trips somewhere. I remember I went once to Canterbury. They went to the cathedral. I can remember being in the cloisters there. And there are, amongst the photos, there are some nice ones of the waters, the Thames, the banks along the Thames with various people, aren't there?
Kersey they went to, didn't they, in Southwark? And, yeah, they used to have these... On a Sunday, they used to go out and they... I don't think they had a coach, did they? They used to rely on...
No, I think as many people got lifts with people.
But he must have been out and about in Malden itself.
Yes, and people would say...
Always having a camera on. Always a camera. Always taking pictures.
And he was always running. He was always running, people would say. He's always running. He's always... Really? Yeah, he was always in
One day somebody asked him... What do you do with the time you gain by running everywhere? And there was an answer to that.
I was just going to say, one of the things that Wendy hasn't said is how much she contributed to the business as well. Because Wendy married Tony, and when she left school, Wendy wasn't academic, were you? You didn't want to do further education or anything. And she worked for Dad, and she helped. And throughout their lives from then, my sister looked after my mum and Dad.
Right, right.
And she played a huge role in their lives.
So Wendy, did you work in the shop with your Dad?
I did. I worked in Silver Street, but I'd had John by the time, my son, by the time they moved down to... the high street. But yes, I worked in the
But in the shop. By then Dad had employed someone, Anne Lowe, hadn't he, to go and help, who was a local girl who was very good at photography, and he always said she sold cameras more quickly than he did.
But, so he moved from Silver Street down to what number in the high street?
59, I think.
Was it?
That's what rings a bell.
It was.
And that was a larger shop, was it? He had more space for his cameras.
Yeah. He had a studio above, didn't he?
And,
So as well as selling cameras, he was still taking pictures and developing them.
I think
he did it as a hobby.
The retail side came because when he was at weddings, for instance... Somebody, they used to go up to him and say, look, I've bought this camera, can you show? And in the end he thought, well, I might as well sell the camera in the first place so they don't hassle me at wedding, you know. He wanted to get on with his job, photographing, and that's...
So at this time the photographs were, of course, black and white, weren't they?
Yes.
I think you said that then sometimes people wanted some colour added. How did he do that?
By oils. Oh, well, I mean, colour film came in the end, Kodak and Ilford and those people.
But not in the early days.
Yeah.
So in the early days, was...
But they were transparent.
Painted the photo... What happened? Were the photographs painted?
Yes.
Yes.
So that my mother did that.
Really?
And she was very good at it.
They had to be printed on a mat surface, so the oil would
stick to the surface.
Yeah, if it's
surface.
Glossy, you see, it used to just...
That must have taken ages to do to paint like a picture of a wedding.
Yes.
Getting the colours right. And
The colouring was usually a request from a wedding order, and people would like a coloured picture of the wedding group, the bride and groom and the bridesmaids and various people. So Mum used to make this little tool for painting in, and she had oil paints in tubes that she'd just squeeze out on a palette and delicately dip the tip in and colour in the required areas. And she was so keen to get the colours exact that, if possible, she would get swatches of the bridesmaid's dress fabric so that she matched the colours perfectly. She was a perfectionist in this.
Yes. That must have taken hours and hours.
It
of
did
work.
Take a long time. And again, you know, if there were multiple orders, it was quite a chore for her.
Yes.
But
yeah.
She never complained.
Mm. And I presume the end result was wonderful.
Yes, remarkable.
People were
in
usually
those
very
days.
Pleased with them.
Yes, really pleased. She managed to get it all. You know, flesh colours aren't that easy to manufacture. And she made it, yeah.
Did your dad carry on with his photographing all his life?
I suppose he...
Because it was obviously such an interest.
Yes, in later years he became very interested in cine photography.
Oh, yeah.
So he had started off with a cine camera. And at home, Freeman recorded some of his old films onto modern format for us. And I think one of the first films that we have is Big Adventure. They took a package holiday to Benidorm. This was after we'd all left home. So I don't know what year that would have been, but in the early years of package holidays. And they went with another Morden couple, the Chamberlains, who lived in Acacia Drive. You remember them? And they went to Benidorm. And we laugh at this film now, Freeman laughs, because he would pan the camera around and he'd say, "I'm just glancing around the bay," and inevitably there'd be a very attractive woman in her swimsuit that he would zoom in on.
Yes, yes.
And he was also fascinated by reflections in water. Mm-hmm. And to this day, when we're out, if we're by the water, you know, Freeman will say, "Herbert would have liked this because of the reflections." Yeah. So.
But he managed to see the funny side of things. I mean, at my wedding... He was doing a cine, and I don't know who was doing it, but he was organising people in the group, and then he couldn't get back in the group, and so he slowed the, when he was doing it on the projector, he slowed it right down so it looked as if he could, and yeah, I mean that was quite comical, really.
So as well as weddings, I believe your dad. Sent a lot of his photographs to the papers, local paper, and national papers sometimes.
In fact,
that was the Southend Standard he started with, it was then. And I think that they were looking for, I think they were opening up in Malden to make it the Malden and Burnham. And somebody must have mentioned his name, and they went and interviewed him. And there happened to be a photograph of my brother and me in the snowdrift, which is at the bottom of the hill. So they took that photograph, and that was the first one that he had put in the in the Southend Standard.
And after that, he continued regularly.
Yes, he used to go out and find all sorts of news. Well, they used to ask him to do things, but he used to... go and find all sorts of things that were interesting, you know, and you don't seem to get that anymore.
Well, that was a major part of his income as well, before, you know, he'd gone full-time into everything. But they would phone him and say, could you get somewhere? There's a very interesting photo, for instance, of a lorry that was loaded with wood that overturned at the top of Wants Road, so it sort of completely blocked the high street. Which was okay, but there were one or two cases he was sent to which upset him greatly. So a car crash or where somebody had drowned, and he said, "I can't do this anymore." And that prompted him to give that up because it upset him so much.
Yeah, fair enough. Going back a bit, Ruth, you said quite a young child you wanted a bit more attention from your dad.
Well, what
was that story? Holding the doll.
Oh, yes. Well, early on, when Dad first started being a professional photographer, the only place he could develop the photographs was in the bathroom, because it had to be a dark room. So you had to cross your legs or go in the garden if you needed to use the bathroom during that time, but we weren't to disturb him. And I think, I don't know why, I must have felt very lacking in paternal attention one day, because all these other children used to come to our house and my dad would photograph them, and he didn't photograph me. So I knocked on the door and said, "Please, Mr. Springett, would you take my baby's photograph?" And there I was standing at the door with my floppy old doll, And he did. He stopped everything and took me out to the front lawn. Oh. And I have the photograph to this day.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. So you must be very, both of you, very proud of your dad's life and what he did and what he achieved and the fact that people are still enjoying his photographs so much.
Yeah, not so much at the time, I don't think, but it's grown, hasn't it?
Yes, and I've never heard anyone say anything negative about him. It's always what a nice man he was, how kind he was, how generous he was, and so on. Yeah. And that's a lovely thing to know about your dad.
Absolutely. And presumably Mum as well.
And but Mum played a very big part in the business.
She was the anchor. She was marvellous.
She did the bookkeeping, didn't she?
She did. And somewhere or other she wrote some things about my dad. And she used to go around debt collecting on the bicycle. She used to go cycle around to houses, you know, chasing up debts because there were people who didn't pay him, you know, he'd give the orders out.
Well, in those days, people didn't pay deposits, did they?
No.
And they'd give a big order for wedding pictures and Dad would get them done and deliver them, but they didn't deliver.
Yes, I remember account rendered, didn't she, these things? Yeah. And that wasn't
brilliant. And have you both got lots of your dad's photos?
Oh.
I expect you to have.
Between us, we have so many memories of our dad, and once you start talking, more memories crowd in, and we can't possibly talk about them all. But one thing I think Wendy and I we're very proud of our dad and the legacy he left to Maldon, his generosity, his kindness, and I know there are lots of people out there who still have nice memories of our dad.
That's lovely. Thank you very much, both of you. Lovely story of Herbert Springett.